for an entire generation, people have experienced Star Wars the only way it's been possible, on the TV screen. But if you've only seen it this way, you haven't seen it at all.
This is the podcast you're looking for.
We've been waiting for you.
The Force is strong here, even stronger than the coffee.
Welcome to Coffee with Kenobi. Here are your hosts, Dan Z and Corey Klug.
Welcome to our second special edition episode of Coffee with Kenobi, where we are going to look at the news from San Diego Comic-Con. And actually, to let everybody in on our little secret, we just completed our most recent show with Ian Desher, and it's a great show. We were so excited. We talked about the news and collectibles like we usually do, and then Comic-Con came on, and everything changed. And all of our news didn't sound so current. So we really wanted to put out this San Diego Comic-Con show and kind of talk about some of the things. And we've got some great guests. Jeff McGee is going to join us later. Talk about collectibles. Troy Metzler, good friend of the show, blogger, and our contributor for San Diego Comic-Con is going to join us. But before we get to those fine gentlemen, Corey, what did you think about some of the exciting news coming on? And let's pretty much start with all the trailers from Rebels.
Yeah, the trailers were excellent. They really gave us a good vibe, a good taste to whet our appetite for Star Wars. And it was Star Wars, man. It felt great to be able to see the stuff in full production, full steam. By now, we know the characters. We get to see them, you know, again, you know, hard-hitting action. It got me excited about the series even more so, because I was kind of like on the fence a little bit at the beginning. And
were you really?
Yeah, just because of, you know, now they've released some of the characters, and I'm looking forward to John Jackson Miller's book that's coming out.
Yeah.
And now these videos at Comic-Con were just incredible. It's just like, oh my gosh, this is the Star Wars cartoon that, you know, everybody's kind of been panning for. And I think that, you know, I never really got into the Clone Wars a whole lot. I mean, I've obviously caught up on it, but I was just thought it was a great series and enjoyed it. But this is, to me, a nice fresher breath of air, breath of fresh air.
Let me ask you a question real quickly.
Sure.
Did knowing that the Clone Wars was canon, did it make you feel more like you wanted to or had to catch up with it?
I'll be honest.
Yeah,
because of doing the podcast, I felt like I needed to know more about it, because obviously we had come up and come discussions, and I thought, well, I want to definitely get into it and see it. So, you know, yeah, made my way through it. You obviously let me borrow your editions and get cut up. But yeah, that is canon. It does make you see it in a different light, as far as, you know, the explaining of Force and
right.
things like that. And obviously it's, you know,
sure.
It tells us a lot more in-depth stories of some of the characters we're related to in the films.
Right. Like, well, good, good. That's sort of a segue, but I was just curious. So we had three trailers. We had the one that's basically showing you, it was a longer trailer, over 2 minutes long, showing clips from the season.
Yep.
And then they had the one with Ezra on the run from the Empire and the competition between Kanan and the Inquisitor. And I want to narrow down real quickly the fight between Kanan and the Inquisitor. Tell me what you thought of that. Because I have a feeling my opinion is going to be quite different.
Okay. To me, it was... I don't know how to say this. It's like it was slinky. It was like the Inquisitor himself is like it's like a reptile to me, a silent reptile.
Oh, I like that.
He kind of comes walking out of that little, what are you gonna call it, like a little alcove or something.
Yeah.
And he's just like, he's been waiting there just for them. You know, he knows. It seems like he is smart. He knows exactly how to strike. He's not so brash as maybe Count Dooku is.
Mm-hmm.
He seems like a really good player, and obviously with the voice work, it just kind of comes full circle for me for him as a character. He's really cool. He's very stealthy, and it seems like he's in the lightsaber. In the lightsaber it's pretty cool, man. I don't know, and I'm excited for it. I really am. It was a fun little piece. It gave us, like I said, kind of go whet our appetites for what we're looking forward to. And but yeah, I think you have a different take though.
I do. Ever since I have first seen the Inquisitor, I have loved him. I put the picture up from Entertainment Weekly in my classroom, and I I want to get the maquette of him. I just think he's awesome. When I heard the news of Jason Isaacs voicing him, I was thrilled. Mm-hmm. And then I watched this trailer, which is phenomenal. Don't get me wrong. It's very exciting, very powerful. The music, the lighting, the implications just through this little minute, 24 second clip were fantastic. But every time the Inquisitor talked, instead of it being in this mysterious villain, all I could think of is, oh, that's Jason Isaacs. That's Jason Isaacs. And I hope that I get over that because I couldn't get past who the actor was. I kept hearing Jason Isaacs coming out of the Inquisitor's mouth. So maybe that's just something. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, but here's the other thing,
too. He didn't even tweak his voice at all. And he doesn't need to. He's got a phenomenal voice. He does. You know, he's such a strong actor and just great work. And so I don't know. What were you going
to
say?
I was going to say, related to this, James Earl Jones has obviously one of the most recognized voice in all, maybe of all of cinema as far as, you know, voicing a classic villain. And you don't think about him when you hear his voice. You obviously think, you hear Vader. And every time I see him in the other movies, I think Vader. So it's the reverse. Jason Isaacs, obviously when he was, you know, publicized that he's going to do his voice, everybody's like, oh, that's great. Because he's like, again, he is a phenomenal talent. I think that every tied onto that and we're waiting for him to say it. So when he starts using his voice, you're like, oh, it's Jason Isaacs. So if they, maybe if they didn't announce that and let him speak a little bit more, and maybe it would keep people guessing a little bit more. I think maybe the announcement ruins it for you a little bit. And maybe I think as he develops into a character, as the series goes on, you'll fall in the step as far as, you know, getting back into him.
I think so. And your James Earl Jones thing is poignant. I think the difference there is that when you're a kid, you don't know who James Earl Jones is. You just know Darth Vader. But yeah, I'm hoping that'll just be something that'll go away. And I'm sure that will. And then the lightsaber, he gets it out and it starts to spin around. And
yeah,
I know people think that's cool, and it is cool, but I feel like we saw that with Grievous, and I don't really know what more you can do. Actually, Ezra's lightsaber handle, his hilt, is a little more surprising and unique to me, but I don't know. I almost feel like that was a little bit gimmicky, and maybe I'm just, who knows?
I don't know. I mean, we'll have to wait to see it a little more in action, maybe, I guess.
Yeah, combat-wise, I mean, if he's not a Sith, as Pablo keeps saying, then maybe he needs to add a little bit more luster to it.
Sure. Yeah. It's. I mean, same thing with, like you said, Grievous.
Yeah.
Wasn't Sith, and he obviously had to have a bonus edition. So yeah.
Good point. So then the other thing I thought was pretty exciting. I mean, the clip with Ezra was fun. You could see the comedy that they keep emphasizing that's going to be there in the bond that Ezra and everybody has with one another. Kanan looks exciting. The thing that really knocked me off my butt of all the announcements, besides the future novel, which we'll talk about in a moment, is that life-size Darth Vader car. Dude.
Oh, yeah.
That was awesome. It's like Batman and Star Wars had a baby that was like a cool car.
That is a great way to put it, because that's exactly what I thought. I saw that and I was like, this is awesome. It reminds me of the Batman animated series style. You know, that Art Deco, you know, looking very shapely, but also has that kind of rounded top on the front end there. It gives a very Batman feel, but yet a total Vader feel. I just wanted to hear it.
It goes 150 miles an hour.
Oh yeah,
like they actually,
incredible.
Based on it, yeah, that's great. And we of course weren't able to get the copy of the Hot Wheels exclusive, but when the regular ones come out, those Hot Wheels, usually I sort of think of those as sort of you know, I'm not so sure. Kind of a real niche gimmicky thing. But I think they all look great. And the packaging looks very cool, too.
Yeah, they release stuff like that. Goes with, you know, Avengers, the films or something like that, or the comic series. I've seen those on the stores. A couple of years back, they had like I want to call it like 80s editions of the A-Team van and the Knight Rider car, which they look great. And the Back to the Future car and stuff like that. They just look cool. But these just... they're not gimmicky at all to me. They don't look like they're a giant head of just slapped on a car, but they look
sleek. The Yoda
sleek.
One might be the closest to that.
Maybe, yeah. But, I mean, I think they look sleek and look really cool, so I'll probably be picking at least the Vader up.
Oh, yeah, the Vader for sure. And I love the Wookiee one and the Luke Skywalker one, the X-Wing thing.
Yes.
That thing is slick.
Yes.
Real slick. So then it's, I think it was Friday night this came out. It was on the 25th of July. But we've got an Asajj Ventress novel coming out next summer, Corey, and it's based on some of the scripts and things that Lucas had a lot of input in for the character of Ventress. So we get to see more about her, and she's with Quillen Voss, and this is all kinds of awesome.
It is, and again, you know, Clone Wars wasn't so hot for me, but I do enjoy to read up on the characters, especially, you know, Ventress fans out there are going to be clamoring for this. But here's what my stake in it. I've kind of related Ventress a little bit to the Inquisitor as far as, you know, I guess she uses the Force, but I mean, they look similar. So I don't know if that's some kind of a connection. But I wonder if the reasoning for this book is maybe, you know, there's some kind of connection with Rebels, or maybe we'll see her pop up. And I would love to see that. Neat. I think they're a really cool backstory. Like, what's she been doing ever since? Or, you know, I don't know.
That's cool. She's one of the more interesting characters in the entire history of the Clone Wars, six seasons. I think she's fascinating, and they took her from sort of an evil villainess to this conflicted, powerful, mm-hmm. strong, passionate woman, and she's really cool. I'm so glad. I knew they'd continue her story in some way. So, well, then now we can go more deep into the character, as Filoni mentioned in one of the press things. So that's pretty cool. And speaking of future literature, we've got new Star Wars comics, and what an awesome time for Matt Moore, our comic book scribe and new blogger, who's no stranger to comic book fans of any kind. But he helped us break the news, and we've got the three series. We've got Star Wars, Jason Aaron, illustrated by John Cassidy of X-Men fame, and lots of other great stuff. You've got a Darth Vader ongoing series, which is really, really cool too. And that's going to be written by Kieran Gillen and drawn by Salvador LaRocca. I apologize if I'm mispronouncing these names. And that's basically showing how Vader goes from the fall of the Death Star to where he is in Empire. And then you've got a Leia miniseries too. So, and that one's going to be written by Mark Waid, which he's mm-hmm. a powerhouse. And then drawn by Terry Dodson, who's did so much great work with Wonder Woman and all these other great female characters. So what'd you think, man? You're a comic book guy too.
Marvel is, like you said, a powerhouse of talent. And they're obviously bringing out their big guns for this stuff. And I just, the more I hear about all this stuff coming out, and like we talked about, you know, Clone Wars being canon, mm-hmm. all this stuff that's coming out is canon. So we're filling in gaps everywhere for almost, you know, all kinds of different characters. And I'm just really excited to see this is a big, you know, this is like a funnel. You're putting your stuff in, you know, putting liquid in a funnel, and it's going down to a bigger bottle. We're putting all these things into a funnel, and it's going down to episode 7. So it gets me excited for episode 7. I wonder how the connection is going to be through the media, through the, you know, the comics, the books, the characters, the Rebels TV show. I really have a feeling they're going to have something really big for us, and I'm excited for it. So
that's cool.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun, so I'm excited.
Is it possible, one of the reasons why it was harder to get into the expanding universe before it became Legends mm-hmm. is it became overwhelming, and it almost became like homework because there was so much. Now, since everything is canon, even some of these mini stories in Insider, there's a part of me that's thinking, oh my gosh, it's going to be hard to keep track of all this. I mean, it's a good problem to have. It's a really good problem to have. It's not even a problem, but it is something that to be considered.
It is. And I think you said it right when, you know, when they had to make a decision on it, you know, the books, the expanding universe being canon or not. And mm-hmm. I really believe they made a good choice, because if they had just, you know, picked out three or four different series titles that said, oh, that's canon, everything else is not. So it really confused people as far as storylines. And they had to make it cut and dry and say, you know what, we're going to do this because XYZ, and just start from scratch and be able to tell new stories. And I'm curious to look for nuggets of the expanding universe, the Legends line in this new stuff. Cause I have a big feeling, again, they're going to pull from a lot of that stuff, because it is beloved by a lot of people. And who knows what character will pop up and be like, all of a sudden be canon and be like, oh, cool. Here's this character again. We can see how they move on to the universe and follow their tale. And it's just, they've given us so much, they're giving us so much to grasp onto, to be able to just take in. It's overwhelming, but yet it's it's all we could ever hope for.
Yes, well said, well said. So many exciting things coming on. Star Wars is, even though it's always at Comic-Con recently, it hasn't really been where they've brought out a lot of stuff. But I think they really brought out the big guns. So really, really exciting stuff. Glad we got a chance to chat about it, Corey, because my goodness, there was just so much going on. And without further ado, let's bring in our contributor for San Diego Comic-Con, Troy Metzler. Well, on this very special edition of Coffee with Kenobi, we have Troy Metzler, who is our San Diego Comic-Con correspondent with us. And Troy and I have been friends for almost 10 years. And believe it or not, this is the first time we've been able to speak live, thanks to the miracle of Skype and all the exciting things that technology brings us. But Corey and I are excited to talk with Troy about San Diego Comic-Con and his experiences. So welcome, Troy.
Well, thank you, guys. I appreciate it. And yeah, Dan, I can't believe 10 years and never physically talking to somebody, like hearing your voice in ear. So this is definitely a cool opportunity, and appreciate you guys having me on. And I'm just so stoked to see what Coffee with Kenobi has become. And I'm just really excited to be a part of it.
Well, thank you so much. You're also, of course, one of our bloggers, and every time you write something, it's just incredible. So we're very fortunate to have you in the Coffee with Kenobi family, and we're excited to talk to you about Comic-Con, which is something that Corey and I have never been to. How many years have you been going to Comic-Con?
The first year I attended was in 2003, and then Brandy started coming with me in 2004. And the only year we ever missed was 2010, and that was just due to their crazy ticket system, whatever it was at that time. You know, Comic-Con, we're trying to make a better version 2.0, whatever. Didn't work, so we didn't get to go that year. But every other year up until now, we've been there. So, yeah, it's been a crazy ride.
Is it just like on the Big Bang Theory as far as trying to get tickets?
It's 100% accurate how they did that on there. At least that's how it was at least a couple of years ago. But now it's just even more luck of the draw. So it's definitely a crazy thing.
So you've gone, you know, the bulk of 10 years basically. And what can you, like, what gets you excited most about the convention itself every year?
Well, every year it seems to change as to what you can really get access to. Mm-hmm. The first year I went on a Thursday and a Friday, 2003. My friend and I got there at 6 in the morning. We were the 7th people in line. You walked in. There was room to walk around. There was nobody in the place. It was completely dead. So, you know, back then it was really, didn't even really know what to expect. It was all totally new, and nobody really knew what Comic-Con was at that time. And then the next couple of years, it just really exploded. So, you know, initially there was really going to a lot of the panels. Back then we had a lot of Star Wars news coming out. We had 2005. With Revenge of the Sith coming out, I was there at Comic-Con in Hall H when they announced the title, which, cool. Of course, everybody lost their minds. And, I mean, complete strangers just hugging each other and lightsabers flying up in the air. And
wow.
Steve Sansweet saying, you know, and George says this time he's keeping the title, you know, and I was there and we were there and it was so cool, you know, it's like our moon landing, whatever. So now panels are nearly impossible to get into unless you're willing to spend 20 to 22 hours in a line. Which you can see, you know, in my opinion, you can see the same thing they're going to present on YouTube an hour later. You know, somebody's going to have it up there. So now it's just kind of cruising the exhibit floor and hoping to maybe get into a panel once in a while. But it's always, you know, you got to be 5 panels ahead if you want to get in to see anything. And it's just so difficult. So really, you just got to kind of just snoop around and just see what you can kind of just pick up around on the floor and people that are walking around.
It sounds really amazing, and sort of, it's almost like an endurance test of fandom and just emotion, because I know you and I texted back and forth throughout the weekend, and you were pretty exhausted. Tell us and tell our listeners of the kind of mindset you need to be in to tackle this.
It's funny. Brandy and I were talking about, you know, some people, they just think that you can just go to Comic-Con, and really, you can't. You know, it's something that... the mentality that you have to be willing to just be put up with torture and people yelling to tell you that you can't stand here and you can't walk here and you got to be over here. And if you want this, you have to stand here and this is capped off, and you have to be okay with that. And you have to be willing to come back year after year after year, knowing that you're going to be abused. but you are such a fan, and they know that we're all fans, and they know that we will keep coming back. Otherwise, it wouldn't sell out to 150,000 people every year. So, yeah, the mentality, I mean, gosh, you know, we're up early every morning. We usually get there about 5:30, 6 o'clock in the morning, and by then, you're 1,000 people deep in line. But even then, that's still a good spot. But, you know, it's just insane. There's people there 3 o'clock in the afternoon the day before to be the first in line to get into whatever it is they want to rush and get to first. And it's just crazy.
Yeah, talking about fandom and all people, it seems like the last couple of years have just been numerous growth of fandom in general, as far as the movies coming out and all the Doctor Who stuff that's being real popular now and all that kind of stuff. What kind of environment is it as far as fandom goes? I mean, do you feel like it's overwhelming? There's like too much going on, and like, is everybody dressed up? Or I mean, how does it work for you?
Well, you know, as far as the crowd of people, I mean, everybody's there kind of for the same reason, you know, just because they love something, and you know, and it may be something that you've never even heard of, but my God, they have so much passion about it. You know, I'm this weird blue skin devil kid with candy corn horns, you know, but God, there's 50 of me and we're all cool and we're awesome because we love this thing, you know, and that, I think that's the thing that kind of just brings everybody together is even awesome. Though you may have be completely different people from the spectrum, it's just like you're all there because you love something and that's what brings you all together into this one place. I mean, yeah, a lot of people, they love to dress up, you know, they love this show. So really, you know, there's a little bit of something for everybody there. Heck, if you have, you know, you love Doctor Who, hey, there's 5 or 10 booths that you're going to be more than happy with. There's going to be panels that you're happy with and fan club meetings and, you know, offsite things. I mean, my gosh, you know, Facebook and Twitter, just, you know, hashtag this and go over here and meet here and get a bracelet or this poster or something. And people will go nuts and they go and do this stuff and they just have a blast. And it's that's the fun part of it, I guess.
And as I've always wondered this, because again, I've never been, but if you don't cosplay in some way, do you stand out, or are there a lot of people that don't?
There's quite a few people that don't. You can always tell where the cosplayers are because that's where traffic seems to be stopped and people are taking pictures. And, you know, hey, that's cool. We've wanted to dress up, you know, for years. I did dress up back in 2005. I was Anakin Skywalker on vacation.
I remember my own
little cyborg arm out of a Sculpey clay.
That's awesome.
And you know, and some people, they just go all out, and some people just love to see it. So one thing we've always wanted to do is go to the Masquerade, which is their big, you know, the big cosplay contest that they have every Saturday night. But that's, you know, so popular and so hard to get into. But I know that, you know, people there, they just do amazing, amazing work. And when I get my blog up in a few days here, I'll definitely have some pictures of some of the great outfits that I saw there.
Oh, cool. Love the teaser. That's great.
Yeah, spoiler alert, it's going to be awesome. There you go.
And speaking of awesome, hopefully our listeners have seen Troy's video from the floor of Comic-Con. And tell us about the Star Wars presence this year and what you saw and learned.
Well, one thing that's been consistent as long as I've been there is there's always been the Lucasfilm Pavilion, and it's always been in the same spot. It never moves, and it's, you know, anything that's going on Star Wars is going to be there, and it's going to be every year. Obviously, with Rebels coming out really soon, that's really the big thing right now. They had a really big setup for that with, you know, 3D characters of everybody you could get a photo op with. They've always got some big screen TV playing, like all the trailers from the original movies, and just on scroll, and then you've got Hasbro there, you've got Hallmark and all the Gentle Giant, all the companies that really have a lot of the Lucasfilm licensing. They're all just kind of lumped into one spot, so you're just kind of going from, you walk 10 feet and you're looking at a completely new vendor, another whole new thing that's coming out. Vans was there, Santa Cruz Skateboards with their second wave of skateboards coming out the holiday season, which I'm very excited about, being an old timer that likes to ride an old skateboard here and there.
Yeah.
Everything, car mats, I mean, everything. It still has a really strong presence. Maybe not panel wise or presentation wise, but definitely just an aura about it. It's definitely, the force is strong with Comic-Con.
Those floor mats, I should have been more persistent about that, but I thought those were pretty cool.
They were pretty cool. In fact, Saturday when we did finally get a chance to stop there in the pavilion, the exclusive they were giving away that day was a pink Stormtrooper floor mat. And yeah, we went back and forth. Should we buy it? Should we buy it? And I was like, man, I already bought the Darth Vader steering wheel cover that doesn't fit my steering wheel in my new car anymore. And I, floor mats would be awesome, or, you know, I'm sure we could find some girl geek that would love to, you know, buy them from us or something. But man, you just don't want to lug the thing around. But yeah, they've got mats and keychains and coasters. They did give me a cool set of coasters from, I think it's mycoolcarstuff.com that does the floor mats and everything. Gave me a nice set of coasters that, oh, they're only one per day, but here, I'll give you the full set. I was like, nice, cool.
So, oh, wow.
As a collector, you know, as a collector, it's fun to get the swag. You guys know how that is.
Absolutely. Yeah, and we know you're a big collector. And, and tell us about some of the merchandise that you either got yourself or kind of put on your wish list.
Yeah, you know, there's the mind test right there. If you're willing to go through what you have to go through to get the exclusives, you really are a psychopath like myself and Brandy.
That's all good.
For Mattel, it's like once the door opens, you just got to rush in and hope that you make it to the line without running so that some security guard doesn't tackle you because you're running. And it's first come, first serve, and within minutes, the fire marshals cap the lines. And, of course, Mattel, I really wanted to get into this year for the Darth Vader and the lightsaber car. Needless to say, it sold out for the show by Saturday afternoon, I believe. I did not get any, which was a complete heartbreaker. And then Hasbro, you have to get in line, of course, 3:30 in the morning or something crazy if you want to get in there to get a ticket for a shopping time. Thursday, right when I got to where the tickets are distributed, they said, oh, sorry, capped off. Hasbro's gone. Heartbroken. Okay, we'll get here, you know, 5:30 again tomorrow morning, and we'll give it another shot. And Friday did get a Hasbro ticket, but it was after 4 o'clock in the afternoon. By that time, most of everything had sold out that I wanted to get because I really wanted that Jabba the Hutt, and it was sold out. But then I found out that you can come anytime after the time on your ticket. So I said, so I could come in Saturday morning because that's after 4 o'clock on Friday, and they said, yep. Said, all right, I'll see you guys first thing Saturday morning. So I got in there, and luckily I was at least able to get a Jabba, and that was the only thing I really, a Jabba and a Transformers piece that I really wanted from Hasbro.
It's like you're still in line at Comic-Con.
Yeah, you just got bum-rushed by somebody.
Somebody just hit me. They uncapped the line at Funko. But he was going crazy. I need my Wampa. I need my Wampa. By the way, you can get him at Barnes & Noble for the same price. So.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Have you seen online anywhere else than any of the Comic-Con swag is available now?
Just on eBay, of course. Everybody's selling everything once they get home and start going through their bags and seeing what they got. And, hey, somebody might want this Bates Motel postcard. You know, who knows? So, yeah, there's definitely a lot of stuff hitting the markets right now.
So who did you see celeb-wise? Star Wars or non-Star Wars? Just anybody kind of walking the floor?
Let's see. Celebrity-wise, I did manage to get a picture of Dolph Lundgren.
Cool.
Cool. Marky Ramone, drummer from the Ramones.
Nice.
Oh, sweet.
Saw him. He's at a booth. And both of those pictures I got right before somebody put their hand in front of my face or said, oh, you're going to take a picture here? And I was like, hey, try to catch me. I'm at Comic-Con. So you just run and hide. So not really too many. There were many celebrities that were hiding. I mean, Daniel Radcliffe was walking around in a Spider-Man costume. Nobody had any idea.
Wow.
I think Guillermo del Toro or somebody was walking around in like a jester costume with a skull mask. You know, you'd have no idea. Last year, Bryan Cranston did the same thing with a Walter White mask from Breaking Bad.
Oh, that's cool.
Walking around a mask of his character, and nobody even realized that it was really him. So
that's awesome.
You know, there could be famous people. You just have no idea sometimes.
So you could do like Raiders of the Lost Ark when Indy runs around and knocks over all the laundry baskets looking for Marion, just knocking over everybody's mask to see who's
exactly.
Celebrity.
Who's here? Who are you? Who are you? You're nobody, but hey, still effort for the costume. Good job.
So you finally are able to unwind. How long does it take to decompress from something like that? And what drives you to go back every year?
I still have no idea. I honestly have no idea. I think it's just the excitement of once something goes right, or, you know, hey, I finally got my job at the hut, you know, and hey, you know what, if I can't get the Hot Wheel car, then I'll get that later. But, oh man, we saw somebody, you know, we've met friends and we've made friends over the years, and now we've seen them over the past few years. So it's, you know, it's kind of like a separate family going on, which, you know, kind of like the geeks in my life and everything, you know, now we've got the Comic-Con family. It's just nice to get together with people and, you know, if you're a people watcher and just a voyeur and just like to see life as it happens and the craziness of what really people can do out there, you know, Comic-Con's a great place to witness that kind of stuff and sometimes make yourself think, I'm pretty normal.
Right.
You know, but no, it's just, I guess more than anything, just the energy of it, you know, it's just fun. And it's like, you wouldn't want to go. You don't want to not go because what if something crazy happens and you weren't there to see it?
Exactly. Well, I always will remember, and I wasn't there for that either, but last year, the fact that Hiddleston showed up in character as Loki in Hall H, I was hoping they'd do something like that this year. That's going to be hard to top.
Yeah.
Well, didn't they have, what's his name, show up as Thanos?
Yeah, he showed up. He had the glove on.
Was that a surprise thing?
I think so. That was where they announced that he was actually going to be Thanos.
Yeah, they. In fact, I think Stephen Colbert showed up for a Hobbit panel, you know, dressed as the character from The Hobbit, you know, and comes up in this robe and takes off the hood, and everybody loses their mind.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
The moderator for the panel. So it really has become kind of like this Hollywood playground. You know, a lot of schmoozing and cocktail parties and limo rides, and you know, it'd be fun to wait in line 30 hours to be part of that, but.
Oh, I know. But normal bodily functions sometimes take precedence. Yeah. No, great.
This year, we know we added a day. Past few years, it's only been 2 days. So this year, we added the Saturday, which is really nice. We got there on our own schedule at our own time and just kind of relaxed. Actually, Brandy went and donated blood because they have a blood drive every year that, of course, you get like a nice little swag bag for doing that. And it's always nice to donate blood anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, HBO donated a bunch of True Blood stuff, which is really cool because we're fans of True Blood, of course. And
yes.
So they had like, you know, for the blood drive, all kinds of nice True Blood swag. So I said, go to the blood drive. So she did that. And I just kind of took it one end of the convention center to the other. By the time we got to the other end, it was time to go. And just another great year. But just wiped out.
So, Troy, I got to know, are you gearing up for Celebration next year?
Oh, boy, yeah. That was a little section of the pavilion, just a little booth, just kind of teasing you, saying, yeah, you thought you were done, but guess what? You're going to be one of all Star Wars, and it's going to be just as many people, and it's going to be twice as crazy, and you're going to love it. So, yeah, definitely looking forward to Celebration, because doggone it, I just want some good news about the movie. You know, I was kind of thinking at least some teasers or something. The past 2 years, but you know, just nothing on the movie, and they're just saving it for Celebration. So, but I'll just keep waiting. But yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to Celebration, and you know, you guys coming out and getting together and just face to face. There's a new community.
I know it's such a novel concept. We are very excited about that, and finally getting to shake your hand and meet you face to face, and
absolutely
all the years and all the great things you've done for me and my family, and your generosity, and we're just, again, really happy that we got a chance to speak with you about Comic-Con, and we certainly look forward next year to seeing what happens and having you out there in the trenches. So,
yeah, fingers crossed that we get tickets again. You know, it's luck of the draw, so it seems to be in our favor the past few years.
Well, as you mentioned, the force is strong with you, so you're doing well. So before we let you go, of course, we have to ask you our five questions we ask all of our guests.
Oh, geez, okay.
All right, well, let's start out. Your favorite Star Wars movie?
Everybody says Empire, and they're right. So, so I'll go ahead and say Empire.
Okay, your favorite Star Wars character?
Dark side. So I have to say Darth Vader with the Darth Maul runner up.
Oh, gotcha.
So, what is your favorite line of dialogue or film moment?
It's got to be the "I love you, I know." Both versions, you know, Empire with Han to Leia, and then in Jedi, Leia to Han. And Brandy and I even have rings that have that inscribed on there. And then depending on whatever mood we're in, we can switch the rings because they're adjustable. So she can either be the pimp or I can be the pimp. I know.
That's so cool. Okay, so if you collect, which you do, what is your favorite collectible that you own?
Oh, the favorite collectible that I own. Wow. I'm going to have to say it's an oil painting that my dad had commissioned for me of one of the, I can't remember what movie style poster that it was, but it was one with a kind of Luke in the middle, Leia to one side, Han to the other side. Luke and Leia have the blaster. And actually, Luke had a blaster. You guys know the picture I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it was something that my dad had done for me for Christmas, which was really sweet. And it's always been kind of a centerpiece of my collection. Anytime I see something of that graphic, I, of course, have to get it. You know, I have T-shirts, and some of the new Van slip-ons have that same design on there. So that's a special piece for me.
That's cool. And honestly, of all my years of being a Star Wars collector and a fan, the only person I know who has a bigger collection than you is Steve Sansweet. So Troy is definitely a Rancho Obi-Wan tour de force of his own, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes, but my place is affectionately known as Sithuania.
Sithuania.
Other collection name, because it is a little more geared towards the dark side, even though I do have a little bit of everything. But yeah, it's definitely a love. And that, you know, that's been probably another drive to Comic-Con is, you know, oh, I got to get this piece. I got to have this.
That's great. So our last one for you. Okay. What particular messages or themes about the Star Wars saga resonate or speak to you?
It's kind of the same thing that I learned when I was a kid. Even, you know, before Star Wars came out, watching Marvin the Martian, and there was this a mentality that he had, and I think even and Star Wars really brought it home for me, was that no matter who you are, you know, you could be the littlest speck in the galaxy anywhere. You can make amazing things happen, or you can just do whatever it is your dream or your destiny tells you that you got to do. You know, and for Marvin Martian, that was, you know, blowing up the earth. Good for him. You know, for Luke, it was, you know, saving everybody. You know, to me, that was the big thing, is that anybody, regardless of who you are, could do anything if they believed in it.
That's right. It teaches you to dream big, and to set these goals for yourself. So
stare into that double sunset and let your
hair down.
Roam just wild.
That's right.
Let it flow.
Exactly. Well, Troy, thank you again for jumping on short notice to talk to us about your experiences at San Diego Comic-Con. And if people want to chat with you, where can they get in touch with you?
Geez, you know, I through the Coffee with Kenobi website, through Facebook, through the Coffee with Kenobi page. Real easy to find. Troy Metzler, Instagram, Darth T-Bone. All lowercase, all one word. That's about the only places I could be found, but I'm pretty easy to find. I don't hide, and, you know, just come and find me. I'll be more than happy to become a friend for your life.
There you go. Troy M at coffeewithkenobi.com. He has a blog coming up real soon talking about his experiences with some great images and his thoughts. So, Troy, thanks again for being a guest on Coffee with Kenobi. We will certainly have you back on in the future where we can spend a little more time and really break down the Star Wars saga with you. Thanks again, man.
Awesome, you guys. Thanks. I really do appreciate it. And everybody, may the Force be with you.
All right. Well, joining us on our San Diego Comic-Con special edition show is Jeff McGee of Marvin Dog Media and Assembly of Geeks and Talking Toys, a longtime friend of the show, and happy to have you on. You, as we mentioned before, we have Troy on talking with us about Comic-Con, and he's a big collector, and Steve Sansweet and Jeff McGee, those are the big collectors that I know of for Star Wars. So you're the perfect person to come on with us and have a cup of coffee, and we'll talk about these exciting and maybe not as exciting things that are going on with Star Wars collectibles through Comic-Con.
Indeed. It's kind of a mixed bag this year. It really is.
It is. what are some of the things that you thought were pretty exciting?
The stuff that is exciting to me is the stuff that's usually exciting, the Star Wars Black Series. It's pretty much a shut up and take my money situation. The, six-inch Hoth Han with the Tauntaun, six-inch Luke, Hoth Luke with the Wampa, the speeder bike, with the Scout Trooper. The Jabba the Hutt set that they sold at Comic-Con, I really would love to get my hands on, because honestly, who wants to buy just a Jabba the Hutt in a box? Like you're going to be able to get on the shelves. But the stuff that there were two items that actually really excited me that I was not aware of. One of them is by BioWorld. I don't know if you guys have seen these backpacks and hats that they've got, but they've got a backpack that's supposed to look like an orange flight suit. And it's got the gray stripe down the back, and it's got pockets galore. It's got like 12 pockets on this thing. So many pockets, I'd probably forget what I had in the pockets. As much as I love pockets, I always do better with just a cavernous one pocket, because then I just stuff everything in there and I have to go through everything. So I guess that's maybe my way of saying I should carry a purse.
Or a fanny pack, maybe? I don't know.
You know what's the frustrating thing about fanny packs is that they are so convenient, but they're the most uncool thing on the planet.
Well, the name doesn't help.
Right.
True. True. But like, yeah, honestly, and honestly, yeah, fanny packs are amazing. I wish that they weren't so, you know, suburban momish. But the other thing that I just noticed this tonight, I don't know if you guys have seen this. It's a statuette that, what is the company called? Let me look it up right quick. It's Evil Fett, but it's E-V-E-L, like Evil Knievel.
Mm-hmm.
And I would have gone with Boba Knievel, honestly, if it were me. from Retro Outlaw Studios. And it comes in, it's supposed to look like the old Evil Knievel doll from the 70s that my brother had. And it comes in a vintage style box. It's been like aged and everything. And it's got some play scenes on the back of it where it's got the Evil Fett stunt cycle accessories, none of which they're actually going to make, obviously. But the front of the box, what is it right here on the front of the box? Evil Fett rocket wheelchair, Rufus Jellybean Jenkins or other characters in the quote unquote line. And hey, kids, be sure to ask mom and dad to get you Evil Fett's Escape from Beggar's Canyon stunt set. And they've got this, they've got a ramp going over, like, and there's a Sarlacc pit in the background and everything. I'm all about this thing, but it's $120.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, I had that Evil Knievel too, by the way.
Well, I didn't realize you were that old, Dan.
I am.
My condolences. or I should say congratulations. That's a new word I invented a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, wow. Nice.
That's when somebody tells you something and you're not sure if they're proud of it or if they're upset about it. Like, I've worked for 20 years in retail. Congratulations.
There you go.
How I feel about that.
Like frenemies.
Exactly. So... Those are the things that I was kind of drawn to. And, you know, all the Hasbro stuff looks really cool, but those were the ones that really caught my eye.
Okay, very good, very good. Well, I was interested in hearing what you thought about the Black Series. For those of you who are listening, if you are by a computer, we're just at StarWars.com at their Hasbro live blog. It's some of the things that we're looking at. And when we look at the Rebels figures, they look really, really cool. A lot of the character reveals I had seen in the Rebels visual guide, but am I correct in saying that Sabine and Hera can only be purchased as a two-pack with the Stormtroopers?
Looks that way for now. I can't imagine that that's going to be the case once they're, you know, on shelves, but that looks to be the way they're at least promoting them.
I think so too. And I will say of the Saga Legends line, the thing I'm most excited about, which probably most people are, is the Jedi Temple Guard, a fascinating figure. Love that character from the Ahsoka arc.
Yes.
With the double yellow lightsaber. And I believe the legend goes that they are just sort of like a duty thing that the Jedi have to do. And you never know who's behind the mask, so to speak. But that's a great looking figure.
Really is. I'm excited about that. Really. All of the new figures are pretty exciting to me. The one that kind of made me look twice at it was the one I what are they calling it? They're calling it like the Doom Trooper.
Yes. What is that about?
I'm guessing that the only thing I can figure is it's a tribute to Dr. Doom from the Marvel Universe.
Oh yeah.
He's got
the same
green armor and the headset. He looks like Dr. Doom.
I thought that too, and I just sort of wondered if it's something that they're going to have for Rebels, or what is that from?
It's a clone trooper, so I don't know what it looks like. A clone trooper to me, at least. I
wonder if it was in one of the characters in one of the episodes.
He was probably in the background somewhere, and they're like,
probably
hey, somebody will buy it.
Well, if someone knows, please send us a message or on Facebook or Twitter or at feedback@coffeewithkenobi.com because I saw that too. What about, I know you're a big fan of the Black Series, and since you were last on our show and we talked about toys and the Black Series, I've been kind of lukewarm on the 6-inch Black Series. I was really excited about the Bespin Luke Skywalker, and then I saw the sculpt of his face, and I didn't like that as well. I was a little disappointed by Greedo. And then we see the two main deluxe ones. We have Luke with the Wampa, like you mentioned, and then Han with the blue jacket. With the Tauntaun. And as far as the Wampa goes, I think the Wampa looks very much like the Wampa from the special edition and forward. And it looks great. but I just don't like the design of that style of the Wampa for whatever reason. And seeing Luke makes me nervous that he'll look more like Bespin Luke. So I'm not sure that's going to be one of those things where I have to wait and see it.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And you know, the thing with the Wampa is the articulation is getting in the way of the sculpt.
Yeah.
Because you've got hard breaks in his fur.
His thighs. And
his thighs and in his wrists and everything. The Tauntaun looks much better. I don't know.
Tauntaun looks pretty good.
Tauntaun looks great.
That might be an easier sell. It's still not one I'm going to buy blindly. Another thing with the Wampa is, do we need the blood on there?
Yeah, I noticed the blood too. I was a little, and it looks, the skin, or the, not the, sorry, the skin, the fur looks dark, like a yellow.
Yeah, yeah. It's yellowed.
I don't like that. And his claws are like, I don't know, look more menacing. It seems like more as a, he needed more of a paw. I don't know.
The way they've sculpted him, he looks more like the Rebels figures. He looks more animated than what you normally get. His claws and everything just look, they look like they're sort of almost super deformed, like you get with a lot of Japanese sculpts, but yeah, I'm not digging that. The Luke sculpt is okay, but I'm not digging on the Wampa.
I do see that Commander Doom is from Clone Wars Season 6.
Okay.
Yeah.
Need to go back and rewatch that.
Yeah, I seem to remember him in the background, but I couldn't tell you now. Who is John Dutch Vanders?
I have no idea.
It's an X-Wing. Is it an X-Wing pilot? At least it's a Rebel.
I believe so.
Yeah,
He was an X-Wing pilot.
Yeah, I'm not sure. This is one of those things where I will hear the show later when it's on iTunes and Stitcher and everything, and then I'll know the answer, and I'll say, oh, why didn't I know that at the time? Drives me crazy.
These are time capsules.
Yes, they are. Yes, they are. We have Commander Wolf, who looks cool. This is all the 3.75 3¼-inch line. Okay, I got to ask, guys. Yoda's test, Darth Vader. What did you think of that? Scroll to the bottom.
Yeah.
See where Commander Doom is? I'm on StarWars.com for this.
Yeah, that's...
Go down one, and there's John Dutch Vader. Then go to the left. There's Darth Vader.
Vader, yes. With Luke face.
Oh, that. I'm with you.
Yeah, yes. I'm there now.
That's how they describe it.
It looks like a Ken doll stuck inside.
I thought it was like an action figure of the kid from The Sixth Sense if he had on a Darth Vader Halloween costume.
I see Force ghosts.
Yeah, I saw that, and it doesn't look like Luke at all.
No.
It doesn't look like Luke at all. It looks like they just shoved a face. It almost looks like the face is overlaid on the helmet instead of behind it.
It's a cool idea. I will say that Bossk looks great. And Jeff, you posted that on Facebook and said, take my money now. And that was the first time I'd seen him. He looks awesome. As does Han in a stormtrooper outfit.
I like that idea, but the fact of the matter is it's just the stormtrooper sculpt with a new head.
Well, yeah.
And I'm just getting, this will be the third stormtrooper we've had in the line. Because we started with the Sand Trooper, then we get the Stormtrooper, and now we have Han as a Stormtrooper. And I'm tired of the Stormtroopers.
I love them.
I'm probably going to buy it because it's Han. Mm-hmm. Han and Bossk are my two big ones. Bossk is my favorite bounty hunter, and I've got kind of a Bossk collection going. So, and also the shoulder pads on this one look weird. It looks like they're offset too much.
For Han's?
For Han, yeah. Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah, I noticed that too. I don't know if that's to be more accurate.
Yep, if these are final or not. Yeah,
true. And the TIE fighter pilot, I'm not sure what to think. I mean, the sculpt looks cool, but it looks kind of
feminine.
Yes, it does. Which is cool, but I just didn't expect that.
And I think it's because they, whereas I talked about Bespin Luke having birthing hips, this one does not. Maybe they're overcorrecting, but yeah, it looks very feminine. The helmet and everything looks great, but from the waist down, it looks skinny. It looks like a skinny guy.
Yeah, and I don't know if it's because the TIE fighters are so small that they have to, they're like jockeys and they have to be under a certain weight to fit in them.
They say black is very slimming too, so
that's
true.
Corey, what about you? I know that you are a more of a discerning collector. So what things are you excited about or did you think were interesting?
Yeah, just kind of getting on the Rebels train here as we get ready to roll into that new series. Mm-hmm. I really enjoyed the figures themselves. And like I said, I'm not a huge collector, but looking at some of the figures that they've kind of shown us, they look really cool.
Which ones?
All of them. I liked Sabine looked really cool to me.
Just the way
it's animated, I think. Maybe it's the animation style I really like. The Stormtrooper, to me, it looks a little off, but I wonder if that's just the animation style. He looks tall, and the helmet doesn't fit for some reason.
I'm with you on that one. That's the only one that looks awkward.
A little awkward, but the rest of them looks really cool. I mean, some of the, I guess they had some of the other Rebels characters. I don't see them on here, but I think they looked pretty good as well. So, I mean.
Yeah, that's a line that's going to be awesome because it seems like it holds the McQuarrie-esque stylings of what the show is going to look like, but still makes it feel like action figures that are consistent with what Hasbro puts out. So it looks like that's going to be a home run.
And can I talk about this Jedi Temple Guard?
Yeah, please do.
This dude looks like something right out of the Knights of the Old Republic.
Isn't he awesome?
He looks really awesome. Looks like Vega from Street Fighter a little bit, but that's okay.
Yeah.
He's got keys all around his belt and a double lightsaber, which we rarely see. Or Jedi.
Yeah, that's what I mean. As I said before, I love that. I love the double yellow. It's just like harkens back to the original Kenner Luke Skywalker.
That's good. Yeah.
Yeah, that is a good looking figure.
And of course, like the unending stormtroopers that just seem like, oh, we'll just make them green. We'll just make them red. And then we'll just make them blue. And then pink. And I mean, it just seems like there's one for every job you can think of.
Well, the ATDP pilot, Filoni said in some of the panels that you're going to see a lot of different versions of stormtroopers. And the reason he mentioned is because he loved that every time he would go to the next film in the original trilogy, there'd be a new version of a stormtrooper.
Right.
Which I agree with that, but the color scheme, it's almost like they're blending the Clone Wars and they're taking those color palettes and then slowly, easy for me to say, shifting into just the black and white.
Now, I'm looking at the Rebels characters again, and they've got a Wicket and a Scout Trooper. Those aren't in that line, is that right?
No, they're just going to be released as part of the Rebels wave. Like the new package art is going to be centered around Rebels, and they're going to be released as part of one of the waves.
Okay.
So they'll be on a Rebels card, but it's not from Rebels per se.
Right.
We got Chewbacca. Well, not Chewbacca, Wookiee Warriors, sorry.
Yeah, there's a bunch of, we're going to see a lot of stuff with Wookiees too. And I think we're going to see how they were oppressed as well. Right. The very, very big forearms, like the Popeye of Wookiees.
Yes. He's eating his spinach. Did you guys see the newest trailer that they released for Rebels?
Yes.
Yeah.
I talked about this on Assembly of Geeks, and we're recording this on Tuesday, so it's supposed to come out today, so I'm not really spoiling anything. I actually welled up watching that. I teared up a little bit watching it.
Oh,
wow. Tell us why.
Because, well, this feels like my Star Wars. Clone Wars, I love the Clone Wars, but it's not my Star Wars.
Mm-hmm.
This feels like my Star Wars. This is the cartoon series that I wanted when I was a kid, and I feel like I'm 8 years old again.
Wow.
There's just something about it. Something if these trailers are to be believed, and if they're showing us what they're going to give us. One thing I said on the show on Assembly of Geeks is I said, when I was a kid, I used to think, how awesome would it be to have a Star Wars cartoon on every week? Then we got droids and Ewoks, and I thought, how awesome would it be if we had a Star Wars cartoon airing every week? Because as much as I love those shows, that's not Star Wars.
No.
And whereas the Clone Wars, I always feel like is what the prequels could have been and probably should have been.
Mm-hmm.
This just feels like the natural outgrowth of the original trilogy. It feels OT to me, and I'm just very excited about it.
Oh, it looks beautiful. Corey and I talked about this earlier. There's just so much to be excited about, and so many things to just frankly drool over because. There's just so much promise and love that goes into all of this. The animation looks great. I know that some people were concerned that maybe the animation wouldn't be as strong because they're working on a little bit different of a schedule, but the animation looks beautiful to me.
They've taken whatever limitations they have and they just stylized it, which which works perfectly. And again, I love the color palette. The dialogue that we've heard in the trailers, just it feels like Star Wars. It just feels like Star Wars.
I agree.
And I did. I got a little misty-eyed watching. I was like, why am I actually about to cry at a trailer for a cartoon? But yeah, I totally did.
It's great. It looks so awesome. Are there any other things that you all noticed for collectible-wise for Comic-Con? I remember last year the big reveal was they're going to have the 6-foot Stormtrooper from Kenner. But anything like mm-hmm. that revealed this time around?
You know, again, back to Rebels, they've got the Inquisitor lightsaber. They had a picture of it. I don't know if that's like a
prototype. I think they had that at Comic-Con last year.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, it looks awesome.
Well, they call it the Force Disc.
Yeah.
So I hope that plays into whatever. But my son, Noah, is really a big Angry Birds fan. They get like some Angry Birds Rebels characters, which are really exciting too. I think they're cool looking. So I'm excited for him to probably getting those and playing with those. So
that's pretty cool. Does he have like the, besides the games, does he have like the little play sets and stuff?
Oh yeah, he's got the play sets. There's like a Lego set, or it's not the Lego thing. It's like knockoff of Legos that you can build. He's got everything Angry Birds and Star Wars. So,
and that's cool because that takes his generation, and puts their toe in the water of Star Wars, which you really can't be putting the toe of Star Wars when your dad is Corey Club. You know, because I just drop you in
and let you just go at it. So
swim, baby. But that's so cool that they do that. I know sometimes people kind of roll their eyes with the whole Angry Birds thing, but there's a lot there, and it draws kids in, and it just perpetuates the fun of Star Wars.
I'm right there with you. As much as I don't really care for the Angry Birds collectibles, I do know that, you know, God, I'm going to sound old. The kids love it. So
it's true.
Anything, you know, you've got to keep growing the fandom in order for it to last generation to generation. So you have to change with the times. And I think that's just another example of Star Wars staying current.
Exactly.
I am actually kind of excited about the troop transport. I'm guessing this is
based
with Rebels, and it looks like it's maybe even close to the same mold of the one I had as a kid.
I think so. I don't know why the color is so different.
It's probably just in line with what you're going to see on the show. Looks very cartoony. Looks very animated.
Mm-hmm. Almost green.
Yeah, it's airbrushed in like a lot of blue and a green hue. Yeah, it's very. It looks like something out of Clone Wars.
It does. It does, which could be a nice transition. I'm excited for that one too. And then we saw the huge X-Wing, which apparently is showing up at shelves on Target as we speak.
I think I missed that one.
I missed
it. It's like the newer Falcon 2 that I don't think.
It's supposed to be like 12 and a half feet long or something.
Yes.
Like, yeah. Electronic one.
Mm-hmm, but you can't fit any figures in it or something.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Or you can just fit, and actually you can only fit the ones in the cockpit. You can't open it up and put them down there and place a box or anything like that.
Well, what's the point?
Just to have a massive one. It's supposed to be a lot cheaper too. So it's more affordable.
I've got a question for you guys. Who shot first?
Really?
No, it's a question. Who shot first?
You mean between Han and Greedo?
Yes.
Well, Han shot first.
Which means there was only one shot.
Yes.
Exactly.
That's correct. I agree with you. But they have a play set of the Black Series setups where you, as the collector, can set up however you'd like mm-hmm. and figure out whoever you want to shot versus. Is this something that's cool to you guys as collectors? Or is this something that's kind of like, you know, I do that all the time and Han always wins.
I'm glad you asked this. I'll let Jeff go first.
Well, I think it's a cool idea. I think it's a great idea, and I love it. I already have both of those figures, so I'm not going to rebuy it.
Right.
But if I didn't already have them, I would be snatching that up because I think that's great.
Really, the other thing, too, is like the packaging. Sorry to cut in, but the packaging itself really has – it's like here's some cardboard, and here's Han and Greedo.
And they're sitting on
it. And they're sitting on this cardboard packaging, which is cool looking, but I'm sure you could make your own little props if you wanted to and – Is this just a repackaging? Or
yes.
As far as I know, that's all it is. It's just a repackaging of both figures, putting them together.
Mm-hmm. As my friend Jeff McGee says, it's a cash grab.
Yes.
What this is. That's exactly. When I saw this, I rolled my eyes. And I think Yak Face had said something too about, really, this is a big one? This is what you're giving us? I was not as impressed with that one. Yeah, again, the idea is cool. It kind of reminds me of the older Kenner Cantina playset idea behind it. You know, where you move the little peg and it causes a little boom, and then the character falls off the peg. But I'm definitely not going to get that one.
No, like I said, if I didn't already have them both, I would buy them just because it's Han and Greedo, and I want them both. But yeah.
So what about the Imperial Shadow Squadron with the black stormtrooper and the black speeder bike? I whatever happened to, and maybe it doesn't count when it comes to toys, but this is Legends, isn't it?
I think they look cool.
They do look cool.
At first, I was like,
the speeder bike looks really cool.
It's like, oh, that's awesome. But then I thought, you know, I'm going to end up paying more for these. And I'm actually just getting a cheaper paint job because they just sprayed them all with black paint.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than buying the real one and having, you know, the nice browns and blacks, especially on the speeder bike. So I like the idea. I like the idea of the black hole stormtrooper better than the speeder bike.
Really? Yeah, I would choose the speeder bike over the black stormtrooper.
Well, you buy it and we'll split it.
There you go.
Oh, cool.
Wait, I'll take the plastic.
Who has these? Dan can have the box.
Yes. There you go.
Hey, we don't open our stuff over here, so.
That's right. Well, anything else that jumps out before we part ways? Yes.
I don't know if these are t-shirt designs or what, but there are rebelscum.com has some great t-shirt designs on there. One of them, which I swear I've seen before, but I can't think of where. It's the Major League Baseball logo.
Yes.
But it says Jedi on it, and it's got Luke swinging a lightsaber in front of the remote from the Falcon.
Yeah,
if that goes on a t-shirt, I might have to add that to my collection.
Oh, you think like We Love Fine or someone has something like that, because it is pretty cool. Well, listeners, certainly send in your thoughts and comments about what you're excited about through San Diego Comic-Con and the collectibles that we've seen and discussed and what you're hoping to get in the future. And Jeff, where can everyone get in touch with you?
Everyone can follow Marvin Dog Media on Twitter at Marvin Dog Media. Go to the website, marvindogmedia.com, to listen to any of our shows. We're also on iTunes. We were on Stitcher for a while, but apparently they just stopped updating our feed. So send the nice folks at Stitcher a nasty email and tell them you want more Marvin Dog Media. and then we're also on Facebook, Talking Toys with Taylor and Jeff, and the pilot episode are on Facebook. And Bantha Banter, a Star Wars chat show, is very close to starting. So,
You've talked about this on the air?
No, the first time was on your show. The last time I was on.
Oh, I can remember that.
I think it might be off the air.
Yeah, I think that was off the air.
Well, we're about to launch our own Star Wars show. Dan and Corey are going to be guests at some point, both separately and together.
Cool.
Surprise, surprise.
Hey.
I am just waiting on, I have a friend who is a thrash metal guitarist, is going to record a theme song for me that's going to be pretty sweet.
Oh, that's cool.
As soon as I get that, he's going to do the Star Wars theme song for the intro and the Imperial March for the outro at the end of the show.
I really hope my face just melts. That's what I want.
Trust me, it will. This guy, okay, I swear, this guy was the model for the most interesting man in the world. The Dos Equis ads. Okay, this guy, okay, huge Star Wars fan, plays a mean thrash metal guitar. He's a huge horror movie fan as well. He dresses like Jason every year for their local, in Arkansas, he lives in Arkansas, their local haunted houses. And he's about 6'5", looks like the Kingpin from Spider-Man. Ask me what his job is.
What's his job?
He owns and operates a dog pet, a pet salon. He bathes and clips dogs for a living.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. He literally is the coolest man, the most interesting man in the world. So as soon as we get that worked out, I'll be able to start really hitting the ground running with that. So stay tuned, Marvin Dog Media, for that. And I'm sure Dan and Corey will be pimping that for me as well.
You bet we will. Happily so.
So that's the next big thing on the horizon for Marvin Dog Media. And also Assembly of Geeks every Tuesday. Scott and Trisha and I weigh in on all things geek on that show. My alter ego on the show is Admiral 80s. This last episode, I was in full-on jackass mode, swinging a sword around the assembly hall the entire episode. So that'll be fun.
It'll be very fun. And, of course, always check out his insightful and funny and entertaining blogs at Coffee with Kenobi.
Oh, yeah, that too. I'm on this website called coffeewithkenobi.com. You can find the Caffeinated Collector posting on the 25th of the month. And you can hear me weigh in on all things collector, Star Wars, and just general buffoonery.
And it's always very fun to read. I love it. So thank you again, Jeff, for being on. And as always, look forward to chatting with you in the future.
Hurrah!
I like the sound of that.
Chewie, get us out of here!
If you would like to respond to our question of the show, have a comment, or just want to say hello, send us an email or MP3 at feedback@coffeewithkenobi.com. Or if you have a specific question or comment for either of us individually, email us at danz@coffeewithkenobi.com or coreyc@coffeewithkenobi.com or visit us at coffeewithkenobi.com and click on the Contact Us section or comment on one of the stories featured on the site. If you enjoy the show, please write a review in iTunes. You can also like the show on Facebook at facebook.com/coffeewithkenobi, as well as keep up to date on our Twitter feed at twitter.com/coffeewithkenobi. You can also find us on Tumblr at coffeewithkenobi.tumblr.com. If you enjoy the jazz music, download the album Eye to Eye by Steve Torok on iTunes.
Give the evacuation code signal.
This podcast is not endorsed by the Walt Disney Company or Lucasfilm Limited. It is intended for entertainment and informational purposes only. The official Star Wars website can be found at www.starwars.com. Star Wars, all names, sounds, and any other Star Wars related items are registered trademarks and or copyrights of Disney and their respective trademark and copyright holders. All original content of this podcast is the intellectual property of Coffee with Kenobi unless otherwise indicated.
This is the podcast you're looking for.
There's no one here. Move along. Move along.